to come, as we just welcome everyone tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now we're in Mark's Gospel chapter 7 again, and we'll commence reading at verse number 24. Mark chapter 7, verse number 24. And from thence he arose, that is the Lord Jesus, and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yea, Lord, the dogs, even the dogs under the table, eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beg him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said to him, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. I'm sure God will bless again the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. We've really read 3 incidents from the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. 3 incidents that are very, very different in their character, different in their content. We read about the Lord Jesus Christ as he met the need of a little maid. And the Lord Jesus meeting the need of a man. And the Lord Jesus meeting the need of a multitude. And it's little wonder that in the midst of these verses that we have read, we have this beautiful statement, particularly in relation to the deaf man, but we could apply them to every incident that he has done all things well. And you know, there's a song that we used to sing, and it was a very simple song, and the refrain was this, My Jesus has done all things well. And you know, there's a sense in which it's easy to be a gospel preacher. Because the one that we're preaching about is one that never fails. Never fails to meet the needs of those that come to him and trust in him. He's one that never fails to satisfy the longing heart. He's one that never turns away those that come in faith. He's the one that makes himself available and accessible to everyone to come and trust. And as we present the Lord Jesus Christ to this audience tonight, we do so with the confidence that the Lord Jesus can do all things.
We can do it well.
There's not a need in this meeting tonight that Christ can't meet. There's not a soul that he cannot save. There's not a life that he cannot change. There's not a set of circumstances that he can't overturn. There's not a barrier that he can't break through. The Lord Jesus is the one that does everything well. He's the one that can do that which is impossible for men to do. Who can meet the needs of a demon-possessed girl? None but Christ. Who can meet the needs of a deaf and dumb man? None but Christ. Who could meet the need of a hungry multitude? None but Christ. He's the one that meets every need. And as he meets the needs of men and women, and young people, and multitudes, when the Lord Jesus meets need, he does it well. And I look over this audience tonight, and sitting in the benches of this little gospel hall, there's the evidence that when Jesus does a work, he does it well. And there are folks in this meeting tonight, and they could stand up here and they can give testimony to what the Lord Jesus has done in their life. Some could tell about how the Lord saved them a few weeks ago. Some could tell how the Lord saved them a few months ago, a few years ago, a few decades ago. And there's many in this hall tonight could stand and give testimony that what Jesus Christ has done in their life, he's done it well. That he's not only saved their soul, he's preserved their life, he's kept them. And they're looking forward to that glorious moment when the Lord Jesus will receive them up in glory. Oh my friend, we're presenting one to you tonight who can meet your need. Can meet the need of a little girl in the meeting. He can meet the need of a man in the meeting. Ah, praise God, he can meet the need of the multitude in the meeting. There's no need in this gathering tonight that the Lord Jesus cannot meet. As far as the little girl was concerned, we discovered that she had an unclean spirit. If we read Matthew's account of the same incident, then Matthew tells us that she was grievously vexed by this spirit that was within her. Just a little girl. And yet there's the evidence, there's the effects of sin in her life. There's the effects of the working of Satan in her experience. Just a young girl, and yet she's unclean, and she's grievously vexed by this spirit that's within her. You see, it doesn't matter the youngest child in the meeting, tell you what age that child is. The principle of sin is within their heart. The Bible tells us that we were born in sin. As we've quoted time and time again on nights gone past, that we go astray the very moment that we're born, because within our nature there is sin, the principle of sin is within us, and because of that principle of sin, we practice sin. And even the youngest child in the meeting tonight, even those that can't even understand what we're saying, they have that unclean spirit within them. They've got the spirit of defilement within them. They've got that sinful nature within their very breast. And this young girl not only had this unclean spirit, but it grievously vexed her. It tormented her. It twisted her. It agitated her. Oh, my friend, that's just like sin in the lives of young folks today, isn't it? You see, sin's something that starts very, very small. Just disobeying the parents. Just saying no when they should just be obeying what they're told. Just exerting their own influence and their own way and their own desires. Just doing their own thing. And sin starts so small and it seems so insignificant, but it grows and it grows and it vexes and torments as it controls the lives of men and women and young people. You see, sin is not something that we dare play around with. Sin's not something to be toyed with. Sin's something that we must confess to God, and we must seek His forgiveness, and we must seek His deliverance. Here's a young girl, and she's controlled by an unclean spirit. She's controlled by the power of sin and the power of evil in her life. Just a young child. Maybe you're here in the meeting and you're just a young child and you know that that's true of you.
You know that you've got a sinful nature that is controlling you. And there's things that you do that you know offends your parents. And you know that they're wrong. And you're ashamed of them. But you can't break free. And even as a young maid, or even as a young girl, or a young boy, you're controlled by the principle of sin, the principle of evil that's within you. But I noticed that this young girl had a mother that cared for her. A mother that wanted the best for her. She had a mother that wanted to introduce her to Jesus. I want to ask all you mothers in the meeting tonight, what do you want for your children? What do you want to introduce your wee boys to? What do you only want to introduce your wee girls to? My friend here was a mother, and all she desired was this, that she may introduce her wee girl to the Saviour. My friend, I want to tell you there can be no greater ambition and no greater desire in any mother's heart than that their wee boys and their wee lasses would come to know the Lord Jesus. And know His delivering power and know His saving touch in their life. Is that your desire for your children? Is it your desire day by day as a parent just to introduce your children and introduce your grandchildren to the Lord Jesus? Because I tell you, if you're not seeking to introduce your children to Christ, you're introducing them to a whole host of other things. What are you introducing your children to? Grandparents in the meeting tonight, parents in the meeting. What are you, how are you bringing your children up? Are you bringing your children under the influence of all the filth of the world? You're introducing them to all the drink and the drugs and the filth and all that. Is that all their children are seeing in you? You see, we can never really introduce our children to Christ until we've been introduced to Christ ourselves. I wonder, my friend, have you ever come to Christ? This woman came to him. And because she came to the Lord Jesus, she was able to introduce her child to him. My friend, what a privilege. Because if we never come to the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves, we'll never be able to introduce it to anybody else. We'll never have brought any positive spiritual input into the lives of our children unless we personally have come to the Lord Jesus and trusted Him. What do you want for your children? What do you want for your grandchildren? Do you want them just to grow up and be involved and steeped in all the world, with all its sins and its immorality and its drugs and its drink? Is that what you want for your children? Is that what you're introducing them to? I'm sure you want better for your children than that. I'm sure every mother in the meeting would long that their children would be spiritual and they would be godly and they would be clean and they would be morally upright. My friend, they'll never be that unless you introduce them to it. Dear mother, and all she desired was this. She all just desired that her child would be brought in contact with Jesus. And so she came. My friend, have you ever come to the Lord? You ever come personally to the Saviour with your own need? Because if we read Matthew's account of that story, we'll notice that the Lord Jesus, that the woman came to the Lord and she says, Lord, help me, help me. I wonder, my friend, have you ever asked the Lord to help you? Have you ever asked the Lord to save you? Because that's the great need. That's the great need of your soul tonight. That's the great need in your life. You need to be saved. There have been that time when you've really come to the Lord Jesus as the Lord, save me. save me. I'm a poor lost soul. I'm a poor lost sinner. I need to be saved, Lord. And you're the only one that can save me. Lord, save me. Praise God, when an individual knows the saving power of the Lord Jesus in their life, then they can introduce the Lord Jesus to others that they might come to know him as their Savior as well. You see, what a change the Lord Jesus Christ could make in the homes of men and women in this little community. What a change. Well, my friend, he wants to start the change in you. He wants to start the change in you. He wants you to come to him tonight. He wants you to cry out in your need for his help, for his deliverance, for his salvation. And when you know his saving power, then you can tell others. You can witness to your children. And you can introduce the Savior to the little boys and girls that have grown up in your home. What a privilege. But I noticed that this woman had a problem. This woman was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician. She was a Gentile. You see, way back in these days when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, the world was really just divided into two classes of people. There was the Jews and the Gentiles. And as far as the Jews were concerned, well, that was that favoured nation that knew Jehovah God. And knew the temple in Jerusalem and knew all the sacrifices and all the ordinances and to whom there had been given all the commandments. And they were that favoured people. And then there was the Gentiles, and they were all the other nations. And they were really alienated from God. They were separated from God. They were afar off from God. They were out with that realm of privilege. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he principally came to be the Jews' Messiah. He principally came to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel, to be the savior of his own people. And here's a woman, and she comes to the Lord Jesus, and she's a Gentile. And the Lord says, well, listen, you know, how can you expect to get saved? How can you expect me to hear your prayer? How can you expect me to respond to your name? Because you're a Gentile. You're not part of the favored family, the favored nation. The woman looks into the eyes of the Lord Jesus, and I can almost see her as she pleads with him, as she longs for him, and she says, listen, she says, I know I'm just a Gentile. I know I'm unworthy. I know I've got no claim upon you. But Lord, even the little dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Lord, she says, all I'm looking for is a crumb. I know I don't deserve it. I know I've got no claim upon you. I know I'm a Gentile, but Lord, you're merciful. And I'm just asking. I'm just asking for a little crumb of blessing. Again, if we'd read Matthew's account, Matthew would have said, or the Lord would have said in Matthew's Gospel, that he'd never seen such great faith. He told her to go her way, and the thing that she asked for, it was done. The Lord Jesus responded to that faith. Didn't matter who she was. Doesn't matter who you are today. You see, we're all Gentiles here, I would imagine. I don't see any noses that would indicate that any of us are Jews. You see, we're all part of the Gentile races, and as Gentiles, we really don't have any claim upon God. We're aliens, we're strangers, we're afar off, without God, without Christ, without hope. That's your condition tonight. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't just confine his blessing of salvation to Jews, he reaches out to the, well, it's to the Jew first, but it's also to the Gentile, it's to you and I today. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter whether you're religious or irreligious. Doesn't matter whether you've sinned one time or a million times. Doesn't matter whether you're living in the clean side of the road or the dirty side of the road. My friend, the wonderful truth is this, that when a person comes to the Lord Jesus in faith, regardless of who they are, when they come to him in all their need, he responds and he reaches out his hand and he blesses. Well, my friend, the Lord Jesus is available for you tonight. It doesn't matter who you are. You see, there's no class barriers when it comes to Christianity. There's no social status. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're conscious of your need of the Lord Jesus in your life, if you're conscious of the need of the Lord Jesus in your home and your family, then the Lord Jesus is available, and if you come to him in faith, he'll respond to him. I noticed that she not only came in faith, but she came with great humility. She was prepared just to take the place of a Gentile dog. She says, even the wee dog, she says, they eat the crumbs under the table. Lord, she says, I know that's all I am. You see, she was stripped of all her pride. Maybe that's what's keeping you back from Christ tonight. Maybe it's your pride. There was a man in the Old Testament called Mephibosheth. And you know, he was lame in both his feet. He was just a cripple, and he'd stayed away down in Lodebar, the place of no pasture. And one day he was summoned into the presence of King David, and he comes into the august presence of the King of Israel, and he says, "Oh David, I'm just a dead dog. Just a dead dog." He says, "David, I don't deserve anything from you. What would you do with a dead dog?" Well, they do bury dead dogs here. I go to Romania a couple of times a year, and you know, the road in Romania is littered with dead dogs. They don't even bother burying. They're just lying there, corrupting flesh. And this, the Thibish is like, "I'm just nothing. I'm just a dead dog here." Oh, my friend, I wonder, is that how you feel before God? Just humble, just low. I praise God, he responds to the cry of the whole, of the lowly, of the meek, of the humble, of the broken spirit. Here this woman, and she comes in all her needs, and she comes in faith, and she comes in humility. The Lord Jesus responds, and the woman's saved, or the need is saved, and the girl is healed. My friend, I wonder tonight, will you come to the Saviour? Will you take the place of one who is unworthy? Will you allow the Holy Spirit tonight to convict you of your need and to strip you of your pride till you realise that Christ is your only hope, and will you come and trust? And my friend, once you come into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus, once you have a living encounter with him, then praise God, you'll be able to introduce him to others. My friend, could you imagine getting into your home and introducing the Lord Jesus to your children? Introducing the Lord Jesus to your grandchildren? Speaking about the Lord Jesus to your neighbours? Speaking about the Lord Jesus to your friends? Telling of what the Lord has done in your life, how he's saved you, how he's cleansed you, how he's delivered you, and sharing with others. My friend, there's no greater occupation. There's no greater privilege can be afforded any man or woman, but just to share Christ with others. Do you like to share Christ with others? I tell you, you'd make a difference in your friend's life, wouldn't you? Make a difference in your children's life. It made a difference in your home, and but my friend, you'll never see that difference in other people's life until you've allowed them to make a difference in yours. And before the need of the wee girl was met, the mother had to come in humility and in faith. The Lord Jesus met the need of a woman, a little maid. Then he met the need of a man that was deaf, a man that had ears but he couldn't hear. That's just like some of you in the meeting tonight. You're listening, but you're not hearing. You've got ears to hear, but you're not hearing. You're not really allowing the message to penetrate your heart. You see, God wants to communicate. That's what ears are all about, isn't it? It's to receive communication. My friend, God wants to communicate to your heart tonight. God's got a message for you. I wonder, my friend, are your ears open? To hear the message of God, to hear the communication of God, to hear what God is saying. I remember sitting in a gospel meeting in a wee portable hall in Stuart years ago, maybe 14, 15 years ago, and the preacher was preaching, and he's talking about a particular man in the Bible, and he says, God was not only speaking to me, he says, God was shouting up. Still his ears were shut. I look over the audience tonight, and I really feel there's folks in this hall tonight, and God has been speaking to you, and God is shouting at you, and you're still not listening. You're still closing your ears to his voice. You're still shutting off the communication that's coming from heaven. You're still saying no. Lord Jesus Christ spoke to a group of people in Matthew's Gospel chapter 13, and he says, this people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. And here was the Lord Jesus, and he presented himself to these people as the great healer, as the great saviour, as the great deliverer, as the one that could convert them, that could change them,
who could meet their spiritual need. And as the Lord Jesus came and as he sought to communicate with them, their heart became hardened, their ears became closed, their eyes were shut. And they just really put up all the barriers so that the communication of Christ couldn't get through. And there's some folks, and you did that last night, didn't you? Some of you have been doing it night after night, and there's maybe folks here tonight, and you've been doing it for years. And you've sat in meetings like this, and you've heard the preaching of the gospel, you've heard the preaching of God's word, and you know the message is for you, but deliberately, you've hardened your heart, you've shut your eyes, you've closed your ears. Why were these people closing their ears? Because they didn't want to be converted. They didn't want to be changed. They wanted to go on living their life the way they were living it. They didn't want the Lord Jesus to change them. Maybe that's your problem. Because you see, when a person is saved, that brings a change. The Bible speaks about conversion. That means a total about turn, a total change of lifestyle, a change of everything. Maybe that's you today. That's why you're closing your eyes. That's why you're hardening your heart. That's why you're closing your ears to the gospel, because you don't want to change. Well, you would like to be saved. You would like a wee passport in your top pocket that says you're going to heaven. You want that cash guarantee that you'll never be in hell. You want to be saved. But you don't really want to be changed. You don't want to give up the lifestyle that you've got at the moment. You don't want to give up your pleasures. You don't want to give up your sins. You don't want to give up your addictions. You want to hold on to these things, but you want to be saved. You don't want to be changed. Night by night, as the message has been preached, it hardens your heart. And you've shut your eyes and you've closed your ears because you don't really want to be converted. My friend, the Lord Jesus wants to convert you tonight. He doesn't just want to save your soul from hell. He wants to change your life completely. He wants to set you free from the powers that bind you. He wants to make a difference in your life, to transform you. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose again from the dead. That's why he ascended in glory. That's why he pleads with men and women by his Holy Spirit, not only that they would repent of their sin and turn to him to be saved, but that he might change them. What's the Lord Jesus want to change us in? Into zombies. Into people with long faces and no smiles. And a life full of drudgery and misery. My friend, listen. The Lord Jesus wants to change us into his own blessed image. He wants to make you and I like himself. He wants to take that empty life of ours and fill it with his Holy Spirit. And to fill it with his joy and with his peace and with his life. He wants us to be men and women that are walking the streets of Newcomer and all the area round about as living witnesses to his power, not only to save us, but his power to change us. And you want the salvation bit there. You don't want to change it. You can't have it. It's all the one package. If you want to be saved tonight, you'll need to be prepared to let the Lord to change you. To convert you. Here was this man and his ears were closed. And the Lord Jesus took him aside. I noticed the fact that he was deaf affected his speech. My friend, if our ears are closed to the voice of God, it will be made known in the way we speak. You see, we read in the Bible about a people whose speech betrayed them. They knew where they came from, they knew who they were by the things that they said. My friend, I listen to people day by day and I know who they are by the things that they say, the way they talk. So sometimes it just slips out. Sometimes people, you know, try to put on the right sort of accent and say the right things, but then something just slips out that just indicates who they really are. You see, those that have been converted don't take the name of Jesus Christ in vain, do they? They don't take the name of God in vain. They don't blaspheme, they don't swear, they don't lie. They don't tell filthy jokes. And someone that claims to be converted, that claims to be saved, and uses the language of the world, is just betraying what is really in the depths of the heart. And the Lord Jesus took this man to the side. You see, the Lord Jesus was going to do something in his life. He's going to perform a miracle. He's going to open his ears to his voice. He's going to change his whole speech that he might glorify and praise and worship God. He's going to say. That's how the Lord works you. He works the individuals. Well, I know he's going to meet the need of a multitude in the next story that we're not going to touch tonight, but my friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ meets the needs of the multitude, he still does it as individuals. And the Lord Jesus took him aside. Just him and him. Just him and him. My friend, the Lord just wants to take you aside there. Just in all your need. So it's just you and him. No, you and the preacher. No, you and the friend that invited you. No, you and the person next door. But just you and Christ. Never been there. Just a wee personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. Just a wee personal interview with the Saviour. What's just to take you to the side? I noticed the Lord Jesus Christ, he put his finger in his ear. And he touched his tongue. You know what he did? He really got to the heart of the problem. You know, I discovered when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and as the Lord Jesus ministered amongst men, you know, there was no pretense. He just got right to the heart of the matter. He didn't mess around. Maybe sometimes even as gospel preachers, we tend to mess around a wee bit. Maybe we need to be a wee bit more straightforward. And the Lord Jesus put his finger on the problem. Maybe the Lord put his finger on your problem. Maybe you come into a little meeting tonight and maybe you felt quite good about yourself and maybe as you've sat and listened, maybe you've felt a prick of conscience that you haven't felt for a long time. Maybe you've felt exposed and maybe you've felt hurt and maybe you've even felt offended because the Lord, by His Spirit, has just put His finger on the sore point. That's what He does. You see, before the Lord can heal, He's got to put His finger on the problem. Before the Lord can meet the need in your heart tonight, He's got to put the finger on the problem. Sometimes, Pipe, you are trying to put a finger on your ear. Sometimes it's painful, isn't it? Sitting in a meeting like this, you know, God just touches the wrong ear. Touches the conscience, pricks us out in the very depths of our being. The Lord does that so He can heal us. I noticed the Lord Jesus looked up to heaven. You see, that's the source of the power that's available to meet you in your meeting. It's heaven's power, it's God's power. Do you think your need's too great? Do you think your problem's too big for God to deal with? Do you think you've had your problem too long that even God can't solve it? Do you think your sin is so deep that God can't forgive? It's God we're dealing with tonight. The Almighty God. The God that's spoken through the universe into being. It's Almighty, Eternal God. That's the power that the Lord Jesus was going to use to meet this man. That's the power we've used to meet you tonight. The power of God. What a wonder that Paul says in Romans chapter 1, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Oh my friend. You know, just open your heart to that almighty power.
to allow the power of God to save you, to allow the power of God to convert you, to allow the power of God to deliver you from the chains that bind you.
And I notice he not only looks up to heaven, but he sighed. He sighed, he sighed.
I wonder why he sighed. I think he's sighing tonight. I think he sighs every day as he looks down and out from heaven. As he looks at the lives of men and women, as he looks at the lives of youngsters today in our society, he sighs. He groans. As he sees the suffering and the sin and the misery, and the agony and the torment and the turmoil of men's life. Oh, he sighs. My friend, there's one in heaven that cares for you then. Not only sighs for you, but my friend, he suffered for you. He suffered for you in Calvary. He suffered for your sins. He died for your sins. He died that he might be your Savior. He died that he might meet you in your deep spiritual need, that he might set you free, that he might change you completely. He died for you. And how he sighs as he sees the evidence of sin in your life and the effects of it and the power of it. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke and his cry be open. Just a word there. Just a word from Christ. And the problem was solved. The need was met. And the man was healed. That's all it took. That's all it took. It was all the work of Christ. And all it entailed as far as the man was concerned was just responding. And just making himself lie for the Lord Jesus Christ to heal. And the Lord Jesus to save. And the Lord Jesus to change. Just willing. Are you willing to? Are you willing to let the Lord Jesus save you? Are you willing to let the Lord Jesus deliver you tonight? Are you willing to let the Lord Jesus convert you? The Lord Jesus change you? It's all of him. It's him that touched. It's him that sighed. It was him that spoke. But it was the man that was delivered. It's the man that was healed. It's the man that was saved. Oh my friend, the man could do nothing but just yield himself to the Lord Jesus and allow the Lord Jesus to work the miracle of healing in his life. You can do nothing in it. You've tried, haven't you? You've just failed. You've tried to change. You've tried to be better. You're trying to break the chains that bind you. It just comes to nothing. The Lord Jesus has got the ability. He just wants you to rest in him and allow him to do his saving work, his changing work in your life. And my Jesus does all things well. He'll meet you in your need tonight. If you repent. If you're prepared to yield your will to him, if you meet him, you've saved him, and he'll change you, he'll meet you here. My gracious Father, we just bow in thy presence and thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he does all things well. There's nothing, O God, that he starts that he doesn't finish. We thank your God that there's nothing that he needs to redo. We thank your God that when the Lord Jesus works, he works on the basis of what he himself is, perfect, pure, holy. We thank your God the Lord Jesus is available tonight to do that perfect work on the lives of all those that trust him. We thank he's able to save tonight to the utmost. We thank he's able to change completely. We thank he's able to set free all those that are prepared by faith just to yield to him. To come to him in all their need, to draw aside of him, and just allow the Lord Jesus just to touch them, and just allow the Lord Jesus to save and heal. So Lord God, we commit to thee, everyone that's here tonight, thou knowest every heart, thou knowest every need. We thank your God for the assurance that we have as we come to you, that Christ is the answer.
And we pray that individuals abroad in the meeting would come to realise that faith, and they would realise and enter into the experience of Christ right now and the answer to their deep need, as we ask it in the Savior's name. Now, I know we've been over our time tonight, but we will just take time just to sing a verse of hymn number 250. Verse 1 says, "Once again the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord?" Verse 2 says, "Many summers you have wasted, ripened harvests you have seen. Winter snows by spring have melted, yet you linger in your sin." Verse 3 is this verse that we're going to sing. "Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not, at once decide, while the Spirit now is striving. Yield and seek the Saviour's side." So we'll just remain seated and just sing verse 3 in the chorus, and after that the meeting is over. We just thank you again for coming. Now again, we just want to say that if there's anything that we've said that you don't understand, or you would want to clarify, if there's anything that we've said that you don't agree with and want to speak to us, or if you want to know more about these things, just speak to us as you leave. We're quite happy just to sit by your side and just to tell you more about our glorious Saviour. If you'd like a Bible, and the Bible's available, we're quite happy to give you a copy of the Word of God, because the Bible is the very truth of God. It's God's breathing, it's God's communication. It's in the Bible that we find the message of hope and the message of life in Christ. So whatever your need is, just speak to us and we'll be happy just to do all that we can for you. We're just going to sing that verse 3 of hymn number 250, and the meeting's over.